Dear iGamers, welcome to the Data Rule podcast. This is Stan, your favorite podcast host. And in today's episode, we're covering the topic of data-driven marketing strategies for iGaming. My today's guest is George Powell, marketing expert and head of search at Sportradar. George, would you mind telling us a few words of introduction?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Stan. I'm head of search at Sportradar right now. I've been in the iGaming industry for about the last 6 years, generally sales and marketing, probably for over 20 now, specifically performance marketing roles, primarily in paid search, but also headed up global acquisition teams for various iGaming brands.
Very nice. And from your experience, so what are the most effective channels for reaching out and acquiring new customers within the iGaming industry?
So I've worked at a lot of different brands at different levels of maturity, and that certainly plays a factor. Understanding what a business can measure, talking about data driven, if you don't know what data you're basing your performance and success on, that can have a significant decision, and understanding your attribution model. And that changes. So I've worked in one company with first click attribution, and affiliates were fantastic, right? They helped drive that. And that's a sign for startup, new businesses. Affiliates are absolutely brilliant. But then as you get to mature businesses and brands, you typically end up moving towards last click attribution models. And that's when you see lower funnel channels looking stronger, such as search, paid search, organic search. But they're also driven by mid and top funnel channels such as social and programmatic. I mean, in general, my experience is digital actual performance channels are the strongest. And if you understand the mix of attribution and where your business is, you will change it ever so slightly in those regards. But the top three: social, paid search, affiliates, for sure.
And do you think that this could be universal strategies across all regions or demographics, or would you tailor it one way or another?
I would always do a little bit of tailoring. So I've always been on the principle that data wins the day. You can have a lot of opinions, and it can be quite a dangerous game having too many opinions. But if you've got strong data, you can make very strong insights, and therefore you can make clear decisions, and you can better manage your money, right? And it always comes down to how you manage your money at the end of the day. Different markets change again. I had a really interesting one in Spain where the reg FTD ratio, or the time frame, was 1 to 7 days, whereas the UK is within usually the first hour or 24 hours. And that changed things greatly, you know, in terms of where you put your time and effort, of what channels you invested in and what messaging you did. So yeah, again, it's very dependent. I'm sorry for not giving more specific answers. It's quite open, but I think that's why you need strong data to orientate your decision-making and prioritize your time.
That's right. And, now say you make investments in different channels, but how do you actually measure what is the success of those marketing campaigns whenever we speak about our industry? Not just looking at ROI, but what would be any other data points that would actually inform you that we're doing right, or perhaps we should make some amendments?
So from a digital platform perspective, the most common attribution model is last click. And the reason for that is because we focus on player acquisition. We're a bit behind the times as an industry. We focus on acquiring the player, then we try and guess what brings them back, and we don't actually tend to measure the we'll attribute the player to something that happened 5 years ago, and then we're guessing what brings them back on a daily basis. Usually if you do last click real-time registration tracking, that's good for bringing people in. And then if you can also track deposits, you can identify which channels are having a further existing customer, you know, contribution. So then I would try and measure that from a ROAS perspective, like revenue versus spend. And then you've also got to look at the, you know, NGR, you know, the actual true numbers versus revenue. It's a tough one, really.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And now, so when we speak about the data, you need to be based on data whenever you do your strategic planning, right? So what would be the ways to integrate any data-driven insights into that planning?
Well, First of all, you tend to work, most performance channels tend to work in a silo. And there's a lot of people trying to do mixed marketing modeling. But even then, when you actually come to doing the executional work, you have to look at it as a silo. So first of all, I would identify the optimization signals within each platform and build a historic view of each of those, break it down. And then I would look at the source of truth, which is usually from the business intelligence teams or analytics teams. And they have a, usually it's last click, like we say. So they have a marketing idea against a registered player. So then you tend to distribute, right? What channels brought in those players? What's that spread? And you try and correlate. So you get an understanding of your source of truth versus those individual channels. And you want to have those things close as close as together. And if you've got your data correctly set up and you've got your marketing integrations correctly set up, then that should have a pattern, a consistent pattern. From that, I would then usually look at, you know, the tweaks and maybe then, and that's the most direct way of looking at it. I would also look at secondary data and more of a 360 view, you know, what was happening around those days, you know, what if it spikes, any anomalies, is there any additional layers? Like I said, deposits may influence revenue and bring in existing players. That's also a factor because usually acquisition and performance marketing only have one metric, which is new customers, but we do play a part significantly in driving existing revenue. So, you know, you have to look at it from all different angles. So I would try and tie those two reports together and then look at other angles and tweak the numbers based on those insights from those other reports. But it's interesting that you can have a mixed marketing model and it's more of an informed process than an actual direct impact. You know, you tweak it rather than directly change it.
And when you analyze the performance of the digital acquisition and the marketing campaigns, are there any key metrics and KPIs that you would prioritize?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I always try and keep it as simple as possible, right? Impressions, clicks, reg, FTD, NGR, or GGR, or whatever value metric you have for managing it. I tend to keep it to those five very, very simply, and then look at whatever's influencing that. It's different per channel, but if you keep it as simple as that, you can do a lot of different calculated metrics. And depending on what channel you are, there are secondary metrics that you can work on, you know, viewability rate, frequency, they have different impact on revenue and brand penetration, or top of the page, or absolutely top of the page on paid search is a comparison. These different things, they can all have different views. So I tend to keep the top five, and then you have more specific metrics per channel that you would look into.
And how do you navigate the challenges of data privacy and regulations while maintaining effective marketing strategies, knowing that these two often tend to be both coexisting, but also going in the opposite direction? So what are your thoughts about this one?
So first of all, over 10 years ago, we didn't have any of that ability to target so specifically. That was a privilege that we improved our marketing so efficiently by having that added as a feature. All it is going backwards a little bit in that respect, but at the same time, we've got so many more safeguards in place for people, which is fantastic. So I don't think it's going in the opposite direction. I think it's more like it's balancing out, right? You know, we had very lack of data, and then we got so much specific data, and now it's getting into more of a balance. So first of all, I always try to consult with local law, people who understand the privacy law and the legal terms are applicable in each market, and how does that apply to each of the individual channels? What controls do the ad platforms provide to you? That's really important. A lot of ad platforms in this, you know, the more niche ones maybe don't have an understanding of the gaming industry in one area, or maybe they're, you know, not really up to speed with GDPR, although I expect everyone should be by now. Big platforms like Google, Meta are totally covered, right? As long as you just got to know how they've implemented working with CAPI and things like that. So that no real issue there. In fact, personally, I found it to be quite effective and accurate for delivering good performance without ever having to breach any privacy issues in that regard. So no, I don't think it'll be a massive issue. Yep.
All right, sure. Now moving on to another topic. So AI, machine learning, how do these two help you in optimizing pay-per-click management, any other marketing initiatives within iGaming?
So I think it's fair to say that both digital marketers and performance marketing roles have experienced AI for quite some years. It's not new to us. you know, I've been using it regularly with, you know, we work with machine learning. We understand the mechanics of machine learning and how AI works. We have challenges with AI because we have such a restricted compliant market. So I would always encourage a human lever first. AI is incredibly great in support. I use ChatGPT all the time. You know, it's great for, you know, speeding up my workflows. Or if I run out of ideas, it can come up with some prompts to generate better copy. And I think that's quite handy. But it always needs an element of common sense because AI is, you know, it's not currently well trained in understanding the compliance restrictions and not using the word bet now, you know, and targeting people in the wrong way. I do think it's going to be very interesting with big companies in terms of how they leverage their data and become more intelligent with leveraging that to provide new services and products for the industry. That'll be quite cool. And I think that's where we'll see a lot of AI having early impact. But yeah, and that's obviously with data and you know, how data informs marketing. I think it'll help us become smarter in terms of how we target and manage our campaigns, you know.
All right. Another topic, so customer segmentation and targeting. How do you approach those in order to maximize the effectiveness of any multi-channel marketing strategies?
Interesting question. So there's two angles I would look at it from. One is very brand-led, where you know, you look at the brand team will have their way of looking at macro-level data, and they will come with descriptions and a breakdown of narrative, like demographical information and interests. And that's very, very insightful, right? Because you need that information to write the right copy, right? And I know what to use in terms of how you do targeting. And then you've got the performance channel led side of it. And it depends on the channel, so, and what data you're allowed to use. So platforms like Meta allows you to ingest first party data through things like Kapi, and you can build audiences, you get very high level demographics, and that might contradict what the brand has said, right? Because what converts? Therefore, you have to lean into what your platform's telling you about what's converting. If you're starting from ground zero and you're a new brand, then naturally you build your audiences around the segments that are given to you, say, by the brand analysis at a macro level or a target of what they expect, because that's usually a data-led, you know, segmentation profile that you get. And then if it's something like paid search, it's very different, right? Because the industry is challenged with first-party data. It's completely banned in most ad platforms. So you don't have first-party data to work off, which means you're then going off, again, conversion data or generic targeting, like, you know, interests, or you're doing it as keyword led, which is, you know, behavioral understanding, right? If they're typing, I want to bet on football, well, you don't care if they're male, female, or what age, they're interested in betting on football, full stop. So that changes your the way that you would approach it then from a performance channel led. So it depends, right? You know, brand is one that might be the ideal, but it's very macro level. And then you've got a more micro level, which is usually where performance led, which is a lot more detail orientated and focused on conversions.
Uh-huh. And as a person who works with data on a daily basis for years, what advice would you give to marketers who are looking to enhance their data-driven skills and strategies in iGaming?
Excel is king. well, it's interesting, right? So I wouldn't consider myself a data expert. I rub shoulders with BI experts and analysts who are just wizards compared to what I've seen. And the way that they're, you know, querying databases, extracting all these clever models, it's fantastic. So I always try and learn off them, rub shoulders with them as much as possible. But don't ever be, you know, discouraged, right? I also like to build really simple views in Excel. I play around with downloading data, chucking it into Excel, making pivot tables. And I would say that I probably didn't know a lot 5 years ago. I really accelerated my learning working in the iGaming industry because it's all data-led. So yeah, it was a lot of experimenting and playing around. And Excel is great for that. And I also play with Google Spreadsheets as well because it's a universal tool and Looker Studio. Yeah, just take a bit of time each day and play with these tools. I think it's great. And another thing I always say to when I'm training people is have a question in your mind. Have one very clear question you're trying to answer and guide your testing from that.
Most important part from my side of what you said is speak with your BI teams, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I learned so much off the BI teams who... like, for example, I knew one company I was at, and we I didn't realize that the desktop was such a poor performer in terms of ROI. It was highly abusable through bot traffic. Well, I can turn desktop marketing off. So I turned all the spend off desktop. We saved ourselves $100,000 a month. Just a simple insight like that, where I wouldn't have had access to it. BI team does, and they were able to go, ah, okay, yeah, it's gone now. Great. Thank you. And it just changes things completely.
Exactly. One last item from my side. So what are your thoughts about the future of data-driven marketing, especially in the light of emerging technologies and evolving consumer behaviors?
It's going to grow in importance, for sure, right? The way that AI is coming into the world, right? I don't think it will make people redundant, but I think people will become smarter with their function. They'll have to understand, they'll be using AI and marketing technologies. Performance marketing channels will become more tech-led, which means you're going to have be able to digest and manage more larger sums of data, because it's going to manage larger sums of data. You know, rather than me handling a lot of people in a team, it's going to be me training people how to digest their reports and control the AI, control the marketing technologies to do the job. And that means they're going to have to become more analysts in their own right. So, you know, embrace it, don't fight it. It's, you know, and I think that's the future of where we are with performance marketing. You've got to really step it up, I guess, and embrace those technologies.
And one final extra question from my side. So I'll just tell you about the conversation I overheard sometime when we were, myself as a person who works mainly in BI data and analytics, I overheard the conversation over a report that I have delivered for one of our customers. And based on that report, if you look at a granular level of a campaign or a specific channel, you could say, okay, all my players are coming from paid search, and perhaps I should cross all the other channels off the list because they're totally ineffective. And I guess that this is a typical far-fetched conclusion that one could make based on this kind of data. And how would you actually handle this kind of a question? Imagine that this question is being asked by someone from the board. How would you actually address such a question?
Funny that, really. When I used to be pure paid search in the business, it was always, yeah, we did that. No one else did that. You know, you claim the budget and off you go. Now, but in truth, paid search is fed by all the other channels, right? Whenever I analyze performance, I always try to look at 5 C's, you know, company, competitors, customers, climate, and collaborators. And the thing is, when you're looking at paid search, it's last click, it's always wording. When you're targeting, mostly, you know, a good strategy is bet intent keywords, you know, people who have pre-existing intent, and then you convert them in the last minute. It's a little bit like standing at the finish line and cutting the tape while someone's ran a marathon and tagged you as a relay at the very end. You know, so they've ran the 20 odd miles at a relay, you do the last mile and go, boom, yeah, give me the medal. It's not really how it works. So yeah, this is why I was saying about when I make my decisions with budgeting, I would always understand the correlation directly, which is that view that you're describing, but then you need to look at the secondary layer and make an informed choice, because different channels do contribute very significantly in that regard.
And this was my last question in today's episode, which I think is extremely insightful. So thanks a lot for your participation, George.
Very welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
So today we spoke about effective strategies and channels for customer acquisition, how data drives the approach to acquiring new players, what are the typical challenges such as data privacy. Also, we spoke about the outlook of the marketing approaches in the light of the innovations that make for the digital transformation, which is taking place as we speak. That's going to be it for today. So guys, no more bets. This was Stan signing off for now, and remember, keep rolling with the data.